Hello, and welcome to This Might Be The News. My name's Rory, and this week I'm joined by my friend Sophie.
Hiya.
And my friend Paul.
Hello.
All right, guys.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. I'm really good.
It's been ages. It's been ages since we all caught up.
Yeah, it has been a really long time, hasn't it?
Feels like there's been several massive elections in between. One a week.
Another eight elections down. It's really useful, I imagine, for everyone who listened to last week's podcast, listening to our predictions for the French election. A, not really knowing anything about it. B, predicting basically that Le Pen was going to win. She absolutely got shat on, basically.
Shat on, yeah, that's great though, isn't it?
So, well, congratulations to France.
Well done, France. For making, it's nice, isn't it? Making the right decision.
I imagine that's what they're all saying.
Yeah.
Like, oh, oui,
oui, oui, oui.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes.
But onto the next big decision that a nation can make, and there's only one way to cover it, and that's with the facts.
Facts.
So
do you think people thought you were talking about the Eurovision?
No. They might have, yeah. Spoiler, it's not going to be about the Eurovision, whilst that was a big, big decision for everyone to make. This week, we're Sport for Choice. It's really, I guess it's a nice time to be a satirical news podcast.
Yeah.
And whatever we are, because definitely not that. Because obviously there was the Trump thing, which is huge, and I really want to talk about
that. I really want to talk about that too, but yeah.
I think
going to be another thing this week though, so we'll just talk about it next
week. We're not
week.
At peak Trump yet. I feel that story's going to get even deeper and better before we need to look at it.
Deeper and better.
Yeah, like a whole box set of 24, you know?
Yeah.
So the story I want to look at this week is Labour's turbulent week of farce and leaks.
Yeah, exciting.
So basically we'll look at some of the facts about what's happened, and then, like, I guess Sophie, you've got some empty post-it notes, which I assume you're going to put questions down.
They're not actually empty. Before we started, I don't know where everyone else, where the listeners are at when it comes to this up and coming election, but I'm only just about starting to collate ideas and knowledge regarding the election, and already from what I know, I don't think it's going to be an easy I don't know who I'm going to vote for yet in some ways.
Okay, this is good.
So I suppose what I've done here, and I know that we're mainly going to be covering the inverted commas leak, which I find hilarious in political terms, because surely there's no leaks, surely it's all just pre-planned. But what I've decided is I've put some columns on some post-its with Labour, Conservative, Lib Dems and Greens. If anyone's got anyone else you think I should be considering.
No UKIP column there?
You're not writing UKIP.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll pop them down because it's a fair world.
Then scribble it out.
And I'll just put a big line through it, but however, if they've got any pros, then I will be popping it on the list.
They'll like that they're getting their own post-it as well.
That makes me sad.
Isolation.
Yeah. It's easier to throw away that list and not consider it.
But this is good, Sophie, because you can represent not only the listener, but the sort of the general member of the public who hasn't made up their mind, is going to be asking the questions. Paul and I guess, will do our best to give a unbiased take on.
I'm hoping, because I know obviously where you guys stand, I'm sure the listeners can gather where you stand, but after gathering from what your views are, I'm going to go away this week and have a little think about it, and then maybe see what the other guys have got.
So I think, and what we'll try and do is, because we've got a couple of weeks running up to the election, so we'll try and come out from a few sides. This week we're going to look at Labour, because they've been in the news a lot this week. Next week we'll try and look at the Tories,
because we've got our friend, haven't we, who's a real Tory.
We've got a few, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we could get some real...
Who's that?
Does Paul know him? Because he's going to...
The gun.
He's going to get a delete.
What would be a Labour way to get really upset with a Tory?
Throw my Che Guevara t-shirt at them.
Yeah, just buy
hemp seeds and scatter them in their lawnmower. Yes. I don't know.
Buy a really cutting t-shirt that has a mean slogan on it.
Yeah, I'll make a meme about them. And I'll at in Jeremy Corbyn for PM. And then retweet it, I'm sure.
So let's get stuck in with Labour's bad week. And I must say, I think some of the press really framed it as a week of shambles, and I don't think we should buy too much into that, because that's exactly
not Labour at all.
Well, I mean, so what happened was they released a manifesto which has overwhelmingly I mean, manifesto points that I agree with. So it kind of, they leaked a manifesto, and it's not as if anything. I mean,
can I stop you there at first?
Yeah.
Two questions already.
Great.
First question. They leaked it. Who leaked it? Why was it leaked? Why wasn't it just released? So, when's it meant to be released?
So it was leaked. It was leaked to the Telegraph. It's supposed to be released officially, I think, on Wednesday.
Hilariously, to the Telegraph of all the web. Of all the
well,
news.
No, like intentionally, as in, so could, yeah, because that way they would frame it in a really negative way.
And dragging us back to the 1970s, apparently.
Yeah, which I find really funny. The point about taking us back to the 1970s, because do you know when we left? When we joined the EU?
Yeah, it was 72?
Yeah, 73. So that's exactly what the Mail and the Telegraph want us to go back to, is the 70s. So why is that suddenly a bad thing?
Framed on the front page of the Mail with a Sarah Vine article about girl jobs and boy jobs. And you go, what? Okay, so what really is Dragon's Back to 70s?
But what do you mean?
That's the lady who brought us Lexit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's upsetting. And but what do you mean when they say it's taking it back to the 70s with this manifesto?
Okay, so in the manifesto...
Can you give me, the rough overline of the manifesto.
Corbyn wants a lot of... renationalisation. So, of the railways, of the post office, he wants free education. Which I mean, all bad things so far.
Nationalise the energy companies as well.
Yeah.
And what else?
I mean, he wants to give £6 billion more to the NHS. The way he's doing it is increasing corporation tax and also increasing income tax.
What's that 8%. First thing?
The corporation tax is a business tax.
Business tax, yeah. I thought you said incorporation, yeah.
Oh, no, corporation tax.
Is Don De Estella money for this, Corbyn?
Because you've heard of the Robin Hood tax, because he's basically sort of pushing for that.
Mm. So taxing those who earn more money.
Taxing sort of big corporates, but then also raising income tax for anyone earning over £80,000.
So 95% of the people, of the population, won't be affected by it. Just people who earn £8,000.
But what happens to... Does that mean then businesses aren't as interested in setting up shop in the UK? Because surely that's already...
That's how they frame it. But I mean, the Conservatives have dragged us out of the EU, which is the reason why a lot of businesses are deciding to leave London. So to say that Corbyn is creating reasons why...
That'll be a much smaller factor than Brexit. And the big corporates always say they'll pay whatever tax they're asked for. And generally, it would take a lot more than that to push them out of London. Something as big as Brexit, perhaps.
Yeah. It was amazing how the Evening Standard, with its glorious editor-in-chief, George Osborne, framed Macron winning. Was like, oh, this is going to be terrible for the city because all the French financial workers are going to leave London and go back to France. It's just like, how do you report on a fascist losing an election and make it all about the fact that it's a negative for London?
Well, and they wouldn't leave because I reckon French men and women get loads of sex in London.
And they didn't mention that anywhere in the article.
Did they not?
They didn't mention that. That's ridiculous. Because I've met some French people recently and that it seems to be like... The French accent really works for
them. Are they cleaning up?
Cleaning up. Might not even be that attractive, but cleaning up.
Well, good for them. I mean,
so they're not going to leave, guys.
French workers coming here to clean up, doing jobs that English workers don't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the headline.
Knew it. If I'd have known that, I'd have voted Brexit. Yeah. Well, get out!
I got told
get those French Lafarios out of my city.
I got told to go into Paris and to say, Où est le Louvre?
Yeah,
and this person said to me that I'd instantly be able to find myself a French man.
Really?
Yeah. Like
where's the Louvre?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's all I know.
And we clearly.
How's it?
And je ne parle pas français, je suis désolé, which I've been saying a lot because I've been in France.
You kind of whispered that so that.
Sorry, I'll say it for all the listeners. Je ne parle pas français, je suis désolé.
Very good.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm showing off now.
No. Let's go back to some more. Of
Corbyn's. Got it flaunt it.
Thanks, Paul.
I think Sophie is a good bellwether of the general public list.
What is that expression?
As in, it's a good indicator of whether the public will be interested in this.
Bellwether. A bellwether.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I'm writing that down.
What column are you going to put that under?
That's going next to UKIP, but not in a column. Useful just facts.
That's just going in your Tinder profile.
Put
on
the UKIP one under.
It sounds like a princess name. Bellwether.
You can be Bellwether.
Good drag name.
So, do you like the sound of this one? Supporting building 100,000 more council houses a year. Does that sound good or bad?
I love it. The thing is, it sounds good. All of this stuff sounds good. I think there is a little element of me that's like, it all sounds good, but I think I'm questioning where the money's going to come from. Like, is that going to be... I don't know enough detail about it to know if that's going to work. Like, so yeah, I get it. Everyone above 80,000, but there's some people who earn above 80,000. I don't know how much more they're going to get taxed, but some people who do earn over 80,000, maybe not a lot of them, work so hard. There is an element of... I wonder if there's some sort of system you can put in place after.
I get that to a certain extent, but also I have very little. I mean, increasing taxes on people who have more than £80,000 when you've got nurses using food banks. I have like almost zero sympathy with those owners, because I think there is a certain point where you go, okay, what aspect of your job should equate to you getting paid that amount of money?
You don't need that money, do you?
I suppose I'm just a dirty left-wing socialist, and I view that there's a certain point where you have more money than you need.
Yeah,
and
I live in a van, Paul, so...
Well, yeah, exactly. We share a one-bedroom flat, so this is...
Yeah, we're from one side of the argument, I suppose, but...
I do get it, like, people do, and there's an idea, right, we work in a capitalist system, so you've got money makes money, and these people are making money for the economy. I do get that, and I have friends who work incredibly hard, long hours, but I do think there is a certain point where it's like, there's money that could be reinvested. You have to help people.
Yeah, and do you know what, someone I know bought a car, like, outright the other day, and I don't know how much it cost, but it cost a lot of money. And fair enough, they've got the money to be able to spend on that. But I'm like, I think it loses the value when it goes out of the garage by like 10 or 15 grand, doesn't it? And I just think you can do that if you are happy to lose that money.
We've got a huge housing and a huge health crisis. And we've got to do something about it.
Yeah.
And you go, right, okay, so maybe if 95% of the country isn't going to have a tax increase, and you go, okay, so it's just the very top 5% of earners who are going to be hit in the pockets a little bit more. I'm kind of, on the surface of it, okay with that. And there'll probably be people who disagree with me.
Yeah, I mean... So it's a small group of people that it affects, and there'll be some who sort of say, fuck off, it's mine.
Yeah.
And there's others who say, yeah, fair, I've got enough.
Do you think you can have too much money?
Well, of course you can have too much of anything.
But like...
But too much of a good thing. I think...
Like anything, like too much of a good thing is bad, like too much... Chocolate,
The phrase too much.
Too much, what else?
By itself, by definition.
It's too much.
So I think...
I've just had too much bread.
Because I think like 80,000 when you've got a family of five kids maybe, that's actually quite a stretch perhaps. I don't know.
All at private school with them.
I haven't got kids.
I think if that is a stretch, then you suddenly have to look at the society as a whole. If that's a legitimate thing to say, then you go, okay, if 80,000 is a stretch, then people who are earning minimum wage, how is that fine to have a minimum wage where if 80 grand is a stretch? You go, right, well, the system's completely fucked then. And if you go, right, so it's going to be a stretch for those 5%, how much are the 95% struggling?
Yeah. It's a good point.
And you go, okay, so the baseline...
I'm on this list now.
The baseline services...
Labour's getting a point.
The baseline services they're relying on. So health, education, any form of social care, any form of benefits like that. And you go, okay, well, that's what falls into the 95%. You go, well, we need to do something about it.
Yeah, okay. So I think what's good about this manifesto that isn't officially out, to be fair, so it might be tweaked, but it's definitely...
It could all be completely different.
Yeah, totally.
David Gray song.
They're just going to print the lyrics of Babylon. And sort of Corbyn's going to say, read between the lines, everyone.
It's all metaphoric.
That's how you get the 18 to 24 vote.
Yeah. David Gray, maybe not, but Harry Styles.
There's two things I like about it. It's a manifesto with a clear social conscience, like Paul's describing. And so it's saying, and there's two ways. So the Tories are saying we can change the country by making a load of spending cuts. And the Tories, Labour is saying, no, we need to make some dramatic changes. We do need to increase taxes. Which is unthinkable when you're a Tory. Conservatives won't touch taxes. And so...
We do have to, yeah. I agree, we have to increase
them. We need to touch taxes in two ways. And yeah, not popular with the rich, but if we're sort of being socially responsible here, it's a decision that needs to happen. The other thing I like about this manifesto is that for the first time since, I don't know, I guess the early 90s, the public are actually getting a choice in... in policy here. Mm. And we've complained about this a long time. What's the difference between Labour the Tories? And the differences have been really unclear with vanilla Cameron and vanilla George, what's he called?
Gordon Brown?
Gordon Brown.
The two spin-offs.
How quickly I move on. And Ed Miliband. These people stood for nothing, and it was really difficult to see the nuances in their policies.
Yeah, I've always struggled.
We're being presented by a very clear decision here.
Yeah.
And I think we should be, I guess, grateful.
What colours would they represent? Just trying to visualise it a bit.
Well, red for red and socialist blue, sure. And blue
they've
for...
They've got
him. they've already got
they've
him.
Seen, they've seen you coming.
they've had that nailed down for some time.
So do you think we've been too pro on this Labour manifesto, Sophie, as a...
As I'm hearing about it. No, I think you're right. I think there's no, you can't, I've never been able to tell the difference really. Because unless you really know your stuff on it, not me, then the whole lines and how far it goes into it, I suppose I would question, you know, like we said, I think we said it 1 week about the idea, I don't mind paying more tax if I know where it's going, you know, and if everyone else is paying it too. And so I think the thing is that I think there is a lot more money that needs to be put back into us, socially put back into our country. And it's almost like the society element of our country has been taken out by the Conservative government, which isn't fun.
Ironic, considering...
And it's all become really individualistic and no one's really thinking about anyone else. So that is really refreshing. And like you said, like, it is really different. And maybe this is what it would take. Because I really wonder, when it came to Brexit and all the voters that voted to leave the EU, where are they... It's those guys that voted for that, where are they voting? And I suppose that's what is going to be.
Well, you saw in the local elections that UKIP has essentially just been swallowed into the Conservative Party. And yeah. Everyone goes, oh, the disappearance of UKIP's a great thing. We go, no, it's just because the Conservatives have moved slightly further to the right, so they encapsulate everything that those UKIP voters wanted. Like, UKIP as a party has served its purpose. We wanted independence. We wanted to get out of the European Union. Probably won't be around in another couple of years. Mm. You go, okay, so the Conservatives have managed to win over those voters in a way that Labour haven't, really. I mean, I'm a Labour supporter. I like Labour. I like Corbyn. I think that any leadership things, I think you can iron out by the fact that I agree with his policies. And I go, and I've always tried to train myself. You do those quizzes and stuff. On previous election, it goes like, so you do a policy test. What policies do you agree for? Who should you vote for? I agree with Corbyn. I do get the fact that people maybe don't trust him as a leader in this, and where is this money going to come from?
So can we talk about that? Let's talk about the man in charge.
Yeah.
He does seem rather much of a sort of bumbling fool at times.
I don't think bumbling fool is like, if you actually watch interviews with him, he's incredibly straight talking. That's why people liked him. That's why he was able to
render... And you've got a question, like, whether he gets framed, I suppose. So we talked this week about, you were saying about thingy running over his foot.
So they have had a clanger over a week. So it's not like the leak didn't look good. And then because of that, Corbyn didn't turn up at the launch of his actual like poster campaign, because he was dealing with internal, like, who the fuck leaked that?
Yeah.
But then I think the next day, the car that he was being driven in, he wasn't driving it, but of course he's not driving his own car, he's leader of the opposition, but the car drives over a fucking BBC cameraman.
I have no sympathy for the BBC cameraman.
No.
What was it like? And then what was the other thing?
The other thing is, like, they're the final meeting with all the big important Labour people, to be like, they came out of the meeting and like, we've got the plan, we've got the policy. Len McCluskey, the head of the unions, fell down the stairs.
That is very funny. There's nothing not funny about Len McCluskey falling down some stairs.
Absolutely.
But also, but you know what thing? Like, what happens if that was all a media ruse and it was all planted? Like, someone put a banana beneath Len McCluskey.
Are you talking like a shooter on the grass in our situation here?
Thinking, like, they're trying to, the whole Conservative government obviously trying to make Labour look ridiculous. So this thing's been leaked. They maybe had an in man driving the car.
Yeah.
Well, and then Len McCluskey said, slipping up on.
I tell you, the Tories campaign is not going to be about policies. The campaign is going to be about a narrative. And from what I can see far...
Ooh, I love that, Rory. That sounds very smart.
can I get a point?
It's about a narrative.
From what I've seen so far, it's going to be about a narrative. And it's a
two... Oh, no, narrative's on the Conservative side.
Okay,
it's a two-pronged narrative. The first... part of the narrative is strong and stable, and you'll see she's saying
Christ.
This so boring, isn't
strong
it?
Strong and stable is going to be what she says consistently about
what
herself.
What could she say other than that?
And then the other part is, she's just saying shambles and chaos about Labour. You see, every time she has anything to say about Labour, she doesn't tackle their policies head on. She doesn't acknowledge the fact that, what, 71% of the public votes support zero-hour contracts, or 52% of people support state ownership of the train network. Doesn't even acknowledge the fact that the Tories, despite the preparation that they've had going into this general election, because they've known it's coming for a long time, they haven't released their manifesto. The only thing we know they're doing is bringing back fucking fox hunting. So it's going to be, she's going to be saying two things a lot, and it's that Labour are shambles and that she is strong and stable. But really, they haven't, they don't want to talk about their policies because they're horrible.
Mate, it's all
they
about,
are very cagey about their policies, I must
it's
say.
All,
like,
it's all about Team Theresa. Yeah. It's not even a fucking Conservative Party anymore. It's just Team Theresa. Theresa needs a strong mandate to go into Brexit negotiations. Theresa needs this. I don't give a particular shit about Theresa May, to be honest. I think she's a vile human being.
Well, in the read an article about in the launch of the campaigns when she had all of her pictures taken. Well, they were doing like the campaign pictures and it looked like loads of people were there. But the reality of it was there was a crowd of about 10 or 15.
Would you want to hang out with Theresa May at the weekend? She's the first on your list if you get a free Friday and you just
I mean, she's not the first on your list. And I know that, Paul. But
no, I just mean... It's like all the her campaign launch and when she does it. I mean, journalists not allowed to ask questions.
Yeah, that's
been
weird,
pre-approved.
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And you've got members of the Conservative press team holding onto the microphone. So yeah, it is. You've got holding onto the microphone so that they can't answer follow-up questions.
Mm.
It's absolutely ridiculous. She won't do a TV debate. I mean, Corbyn's also been like now saying he's not going to do it, which is like, Jeremy, oh, please.
Yeah,
just but... no chairer. Just have it so you empty chair someone on stage and it looks ridiculous. If you have all the other leaders of the parties and no Theresa May, that looks so ridiculous if you've got a podium with an empty chair on it.
Yeah.
That's great for them, but Corbyn's now saying he might not do it. She's going to do question time, and question time is the most unbearable half an hour of awfulness ever.
When is that?
It'll be sometime.
It won't be a proper question time either. It'll be like the last question time.
She's doing a Facebook Q&A as well, which is great.
She's not.
I might get back on Facebook just to give her some shit on that.
Oh, good for her.
Oh, God.
We've got to wrap up the facts, but Sophie, as sort of as someone who started off on the fence slightly, have you got any final questions or comments about the Labour part of the general election?
No, I think you've shed some light on it. I do think there is an element of branding about these both the Conservative and the Labour, and
sure.
I think it's really important given this world we're now living in, where there's this thing about fake news and whatever, that we have to kind of question a lot of the headlines and make sure that we're being sensible about how much weight we take in certain news and where we're getting our news from.
Mm.
So I think that I'm going to take on board what you said because it is interesting. And I agree, I want to agree with a lot of it, but I also want to make sure that I'm questioning it so that I'm 100% sure, which is obviously what you've
done. That's a very good way to look at it. And I also know that I'm terrible at talking on these subjects because I'm very much pro-Labour, anti-Conservatives. So you should read the manifesto.
Yeah,
I think so. Read the press that you trust.
And also, I'm going to do that, but also I think it would be really interesting to talk to someone, or a few people who are so very pro-conservative, in the way that you guys are.
Should.
Because
I'm sure
within that time, I would come up with it.
And I think also it's good to do that, and I'm sure there are conservative voters who we know and do this podcast who will be able to give very good and points I agree with, like, probably why they're voting conservative.
I'll try and track one down for next week.
Can we try and find a Tory?
Right,
listeners, if you're listening and you do want to say that what me and Paul have been saying over the last 20 minutes is a load of shit, do come in because I think it'll be good to hear the other side.
Also, Trattoria sounds like a very nice Italian ice cream.
When the moon hits your eyes,
like a big Trattoria.
Hi, I'll just get one scoop of Trattoria, please.
With a flake.
See.
With a flake.
Well, thank you both for helping with the facts. Let's move on to the next segment. Task Force. Right, so I've had a call, guys.
Oh, phone's been going again.
It's the call. The call was...
Whack, 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 whack. Do you remember that ringtone?
Did you change my ringtone?
Yes.
I thought you had that whistle ringtone.
Yeah. Well,
what's
moved
that?
I've moved it back to Crazy Frog. it's from the head of... I've had a call from the head of Global Security.
Oh, who's that? Oh,
didn't leave a name.
And who does he belong or she belong to?
He or she does not report into any any country or man or woman. He's just on top of it.
And then like Antarctic or something. Something they're very neutral.
Yeah. And so I've had a call from them and they've said, Rory, we need your help. We're in crisis. Mm. The world is in crisis. This cyber attack. Have you heard about this cyber attack?
Yeah.
That's going on. What have you heard?
Like, that it's bad.
Is that the rave shop in Camden?
Cyber attack.
We're like next to the Punky Fish shop.
Yeah, Cyberdog.
Cyberdog.
It's also those t-shirts with little digital messages.
Digital messages and then collars that glow flash sticks. In the dark.
Back to mine and the numbers. No, so there's been a cyber attack. Well, it started on Friday, and I think at first everyone thought, oh no, it's just the NHS. And then we realised, well, not me personally, although now that I've been brought up to speed by the head of global security, I'm fully in the loop. But it turns out that it's affected 20,000 computers, I think, 150 different countries. I think parts of the Russian government have been affected.
Of course they have. I mean,
French car manufacturers, I think Spanish telecoms companies, German train.
How?
Companies. It's great to unite the world in.
Yeah.
In this weird way.
We're all in, yeah, all in it together.
And so.
But can I ask, first of all, how?
Right. So, well, all I know so far is like your computer gets taken over or something, and it says you can't access it unless you give them £230.
Okay.
Now, do you think if you've gone to all the trouble of working out how to do this, would you not ask for more than £230?
£230 is quite realistic, isn't it? As like, oh, fuck it. For the end, like for not having the trouble.
Yeah.
The money.
Perhaps they've had like a think tank work on it and go. How much are people going to pay? £230.
It's not too much. We go, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, because it's not £250, but it's not £200.
Probably just gone average savings that people have.
And so that's what's happened. And then so it's meant that the NHS people can't access results. I think they've had to shut down everything other than an emergency.
Yeah, they've been told to not go to like A&E. Yeah
don't come in unless it's a real emergency, which is generally a good approach for A&E.
Yeah,
anyway.
Always.
So if it's helped get that message across, then
yeah. Finally, yeah.
So and then so Paul, do you know how like what the how this could have been prevented like just from an actual?
Wasn't it just people upgrading from Windows XP? Isn't it like a Windows XP scenario?
Yes.
So, is that what it was?
So I have all no idea really.
From what I understand, all it was that if you're on Windows XP.
Any listeners out there who are on Windows XP, let us know.
Yeah, get in touch. Email thismightbethenews@gmail.com.
Have you paid it? Or are you just not logging on for the weekend?
Yeah. You've had an off comms, off social media weekend.
Yeah.
It's been bliss. So all they need to do was update a patch or something, whatever that is, on Windows XP, and then they'd been fine. And I think this patch was available in March. And so the NHS is entirely run off Windows XP, from what we hear. And or like largely run for off this kind of software, and they didn't update the patch because it would have been too much money or like too complicated to do, and then that's why the NHS is vulnerable.
Well, and then they're even more vulnerable now because the guy that's rescued or the unknown hero, malware, who's like a blogger,
he's called Malware Tech.
It said that it's going to carry on attacking, or it might attack again on Monday morning when they open up their computers again.
And this is what the head of global security called me up. He said, "Yeah, the next threat is imminent. It's going to be Monday morning. Rory, get Paul, get Sophie.
Yeah,
get your best heads together.
Crack team.
How are we gonna stop this? How are we gonna stop all these cyber attacks?
I've got a good short-term one.
What's your short-term one?
Everyone's off work tomorrow. Everyone takes a holiday.
Bonus bank holiday.
Bonus, yeah, bank holiday. Brucey bank holiday bonus.
I'm up for that.
I'm up for that. You up for that?
Yeah.
May's already pretty sweet for bank holidays, but I'll take another
one. But why don't we just all have Mondays off in May? May Mondays.
May Mondays. It's a good name, but yeah. I fear with a general election coming up, that is too positive in Theresa May's favour.
Yeah, she's not going to do that.
She'd like that. So, I mean, first of all, that this malware tech guy, if you're going to save the world from a virus, wouldn't you come up with a better name for
Get
yourself?
A better name.
No, but he's
very
already
simple.
Had that. He's obviously got an online presence with malware tech because he probably made that when he was like 16 in his room being like, oh yeah, malware tech. And then suddenly he's getting some followers and he's 17 and he's like, I can't change my name now because I've got this brand.
Yeah, it's like you can't change your email. Yeah. We have to give out an Bubbling embarrassing flower pot. Hotmail email that you've had since you were 15.
My sister's still got hippie chick or something, mellow chick. That's my sister's
hippie chick.
One.
Are you still Bubbling Flower Pot?
No, mate, I left Bubbling Flower Pot a long time ago when I left Hotmail. Is Hotmail still about?
I think so. Probably, I had to close my Hotmail account, which is paulwillis1@hotmail.com, which I liked how it rhymed. But my friends in graphics when I was in year 10 signed me up to 1,000 emails a day. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Including Korean Fishing Weekly, which was a daily newsletter, which always baffled me.
It's like, how did they get the content?
Yeah, exactly. Just loads of Korean fishing news, I think.
Was there plenty?
Well, I couldn't read it. So I had to close the account. It was great.
Did you used to do that when you used to sign your friends up to horrible emails?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still signed up to many a physical newsletter from sort of all the charities you can think of.
Yeah.
Really?
So because, I don't know, because my friend Ed's...
enjoys that.
I think maybe if you're trying to stop a future cyber attack, maybe you've got to hit the hackers where it hurts.
Yeah, tell me more.
Well, I mean, you just kind of work. I mean, just take down all the things they like Call of Duty. Take that offline. Take all the stuff they use.
That's interesting. Yeah. Because what baffles me is, like, you say cyber attack and it's like there's nothing tangible about a cyber attack because A, we don't really know that much about that world, but also the attack is so, you know, how do you know it's happening to you or until something comes up on your computer?
Well, yeah, so I mean, there's the basics, isn't there? It's like I was thinking about it, don't click on any dodgy looking emails.
Yeah,
you know, I think that might be one of the causes of this. I think it's something like
how
that,
many dodgy it? Emails are you getting?
Well, no, but if you look at
but how many?
I don't know.
What are they?
It's all stuff like
what are they though?
You want to know?
When you say dodgy email, what do you mean?
Well, because I've had my Gmail account for I don't know, probably 10 years.
So can you answer the question and stop being so political
about
it?
Yeah, no, I will.
But like what?
Things like
you suddenly can't.
I was looking at it and it's things like. I've got an exciting business opportunity for you from an email address that you've never seen.
And Rory is a sucker for an exciting business opportunity. I know one thing about Rory. He loves exciting business.
I've been waiting for my moment.
Not links to cheap Viagra, but exciting business.
Exactly.
I've got an exciting business involving Viagra. Well, you had me and you've lost me.
Exactly.
Or just, you won't believe what's in this email.
Do you know what? Rory, even though he knows it's a scam, he's like, well, I kind of feel like I would believe it. Opens it, it's a virus. I can believe it. I've been hacked.
I was looking through my spam.
Is that what came up?
Yeah,
genuine
those
subject
are
the ones. Headings.
These are kind of a bit classier than sort of the usual, yeah, like penis enlarger and...
Hey, big boy.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
always
X,
gets
X,
me.
X, X.
Yeah. Any form of compliment.
Like,
hey, Mr. Well-Endowed. Who told you? This weird email address, which is just numbers and dots and dashes.
That's your email account, then?
No, the ones you get it from is always just like odd. Also, I love it when you get a scam email pretending to be your bank. And then it always starts with like the weirdest grammar. It's like, dear customers. You're just like, good greetings to you on this afternoon. And you're like, hang on a minute, I smell a fish. We need your pin code. Okay, I'll give you my pin code.
But, so I'm colloquial, sure. I thought they were really being friendly.
Wow, that was awful. I'm gonna blog about this.
It's inconvenient that they've forgotten my pin code that they don't need.
Yeah, exactly. The thing they specifically say they never ask you for.
I'll trust them.
But how often do you change your passwords, guys?
Never.
I mean, are you someone who's got a good, strong password?
Is it strong and stable?
I think it's
password?
Moderate. I'm showing off now, but I think it's moderate. I've got at least one capital, I've got one number and one punctuation when I can.
I know that sounds pretty strong.
Yeah, but it is awesome. I don't know.
Are you hackable?
Because
if I need you on my team, we're going to need some pretty robust passwords.
I don't know. Like, you start to get so many, don't you? And then you write them all down.
Is that
a piece of paper
that
I've buried on a beach. So if I just need to log on to certain accounts, I have to go back to that beach. Yeah, it's long, but try hacking that, motherfucker.
Yeah, no one's getting into my PayPal account.
Yeah, that's where the Pope keeps all his money.
Yeah,
there are those classic ones as well. Yeah, where you just like where you need the website every 2 years, and you're like, how the hell am I supposed to remember that password?
Yeah, just like, oh, do you not know it? I hate when it gets like asking weird, aggressive questions.
But do you ever do a secret question that you don't know you've forgotten the answer to?
Oh yeah. Also, we've sent you a new password to your email address on account. Can't get to that email address because that email address closed five years ago.
I had that many years ago. I had that problem. Absolutely nightmare. Anyway, we digress.
But yeah, I do try and outwit my future self, or outwit strangers by doing fake answers to the personal questions. That I then go on to forget because it's 3 years later and I've got no idea what the hell.
At the time, I always write in funny answers. I'm just like, I'll be on that wavelength when I come back. And then you're always stressed when you have to try and get into the account. You're just like, I don't know, like, who my favourite teacher at school was. Yeah. It's like, who would I have found it funny to say was my favourite teacher at school?
Well, this is slightly different, but on my credit card thing, it says, do you want to, like, write a notice every time you log in that sort of says to you? And when I got it, I went, oh, Sophie, do be careful with your spending.
I love that.
I logged in and was like, why is it saying that?
Why's the bank being aggressive? I don't like this.
Why's the bank giving me shit?
I did not ask for an advice slip.
But I forgot because I logged in so much later.
It was you warning future Sarah.
It was me, and I still get it, which is...
We do digress, but so far I've got written down, we've got, have a good strong password if you want to prevent a cyber attack. Maybe we take the day off. Don't click on any dodgy looking websites.
Yeah.
Emails that you get sent, no matter how flattering they are. Do not click on them. Or how exciting. Business opportunities can wait.
And if there's an emoji in the subject, steer clear.
Yeah. And also, if you've got important stuff like online banking, maybe just don't use like a really outdated operating system. If you've got all your money online and you've got all your important things, maybe just go, well, I probably won't. It's the equivalent of if you like storing your money under your bed. Yeah. Or you just like carried it around just like in your top pocket, but everyone could see that money.
Yeah.
It's just like people, if they go, right, using Windows XP and use online banking, well, I'll probably just try to hack them then, won't I?
Yeah. Well, I think very much nowadays people don't take digital responsibility for admin tasks.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, as in like there is general paperwork admin you have to do in life, you know, I don't know, insurance, I don't know, whatever. But what you have to do... I'm trying to think what admin insuring, I don't do.
Just insuring things.
I've got like a pile of admin that I don't do.
Everything's insured with different insurers.
But people don't... I don't think people take responsibility and I don't think they know anything about it. But I think you've got to take responsibility for learning about it. Like, we were talking about downloading stuff. Naughty downloading, which I don't do.
Which you guys wouldn't do, but
no. But if you were going to do, it's become
get music online.
Yeah, but not that we do that.
No, it's impossible.
Like, yeah, because it actually is really tough now.
For love nor money.
For love nor money.
Sky Internet.
Yeah, cheers Sky, and also these bloody web browsers. Like you have to go on Safari, and then Safari, you're suddenly at risk of lots of attacking viruses because it's not very good. Hasn't got the right software to.
Last time I went on Safari, all I saw was Eric Trump killing elephants. So useless.
Insightful, but
yeah, like but I don't useless. Know what I mean. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to take this in a different direction, but I'm not going to.
You take it where you want it.
No,
take it.
I don't think I need to take it there.
Okay, fine.
You park that point wherever
I'm
you
parking that point.
You've
I'll
got,
talk
a,
about
you've got
it
a
later.
Permit to park wherever you point.
We'll put that in the outtakes. Sophie's Tangent.
Sophie's Tangent is a great thing.
There we go. That can be our like sister
That's
show.
That's my life.
We can have it like the Strictly Come Dancing after show. Yeah, and it's just Sophie doing a tangent on what she wanted to
It'd
talk
have to be
about.
Late night, I think.
Yeah, here's what I really wanted to
no,
say.
No, not because all my thoughts are like
well,
that.
Like Hollyoaks Late.
Not like Hollyoaks.
It'd just be you to be like, I'm going to tell you the real sexy emails I've been clicking on.
Sophie's Tangent's going to take you to a whole different world.
David, do you want to see David Gandy in his pants? Yes. Oh, no, I've got to pay £230 again.
I mean, I guess there's an easy answer here, isn't there? If we just, like, upgrade the NHS's systems to, like, I don't know, give them all MacBooks? Should we give everyone a MacBook?
Give them some money so they can
afford.
No, I
don't think that. I think that's really...
Is that a bit too rich?
It's really rich. It's really middle class to say that. Because at the end of the day, the only affordable computers are Windows computers. A MacBook is going to cost you at least £1,000. Like, that's so unaffordable. So I don't think we should ever put Windows out of business because of that. I do, however, think...
Right, how are your stocks getting on with Windows, by the way?
No, how are you saying this? Like, I know we all work on Mac, and that's because of maybe what
no,
we do.
No, you are making a good point.
Like, imagine if you didn't have any money, you could buy a Windows computer for £200, you know?
Just let them upgrade to the latest.
They need to
system.
Upgrade, and I think people definitely need to be a bit more aware of what's involved in cybersecurity and making sure that they understand what they're clicking on and how they're navigating themselves around the web. They're being secure, because I don't even really know that much. I know
just
a bit,
maybe,
but not.
Just maybe get some more government guidelines and stuff, which can be released to businesses and can be circulated around about how to stay safe on your operating system. What's like the most?
And I'm sure we could Google it and then find out, couldn't we?
No, but then you
people
Google
don't
it,
do
you...
that anymore. This is what really annoys me about modern people sometimes.
Oh, modern people.
Oh, here we go. These modern fucking people.
Welcome to Sophie's Tangent. Do you know what pisses me off about modern people?
It's gonna be half an hour. Half an hour of me talking in the third person because Sophie's had enough.
She's had it up to here and she's going to get all this off her chest.
Do you know
in
what
one
I like?
Hour.
Do you know what I like? Old people. Ancient people. They're yeah. great.
You know where
people.
You are. Do you know where you are? With dead people.
Dead people.
You know where you are.
They're not going to attack your computer.
You know where you stand.
Get off my laptop, you modern fuckers.
What don't you like? Who's got my goat? It annoys me when it's not everyone, but certain people, when it comes to like technology and cybersecurity in this regard, anything new, right? Social media, things like that. Yeah. People turn around and go, oh no. I don't know anything about it. No. I'm an absolute nightmare on that. No, I won't be able to learn that. And I'm like, you have to adjust. You have to like and have a base understanding. So if you're going to own a laptop or a phone, have a basic understanding of what keeps you safe on that thing.
Perhaps they should have a cycling proficiency test, but for laptops.
I think, you know, children are getting taught to code.
Yeah.
All of us, our generation, we've got no fucking clue how to code.
No.
Like, but suddenly a 15-year-old is going to be able to code us. So the only way that we're going to be able to adapt is by actually just taking some time and learning. And so many people don't. And you got Google or any query in the world. It's amazing. Any query.
Oh, Google.
Google.
Google. What famous 90s show was Helen Baxendale in? Oh, Paul, it was Cold Feet. Thank you. That's been playing on my mind all week.
That's the end of that argument.
I do agree,
but
though.
More like,
education.
How do I screw up a picture to my wall? That's a really bad example, guys. I was riffing. It went badly. I understand that.
Google's not going to help you if you use obscure terminology and screw up a picture to your wall. Sorry, Sophie, didn't quite get that. Do you mean roll up some paper?
Can you try again?
So then it would go, Ask Jeeves.
Yeah.
Does that still exist?
Maybe, in memory.
I think
conspiracy.
That would have cyber attack on.
Well, I have to wrap up Task Force.
Sorry.
This has been useful. So I think we've got a few tips. I've already changed my password from password 123 to
password 1234.
Yeah, or I was going to go for password 321. That'll with a I don't know with a naught involved for one of the O's.
There we go.
They weren't seeing that coming.
Hello.
But I'm going to get back to the head of global security and go back with your ideas. Tell him that Sophie is there to write the guidelines on. How to be a millennial.
I'll just Google that and then I'll be able to
and
find
print
out.
It.
Yeah.
But thank you both.
No worries.
Quiz
time. You guys ready?
Yes.
So we're going to...
Let's get quizzical.
Quick fire quiz.
Giving up saying yes to
that question. We've got about five minutes for this quiz. So let's smash through it.
Yeah.
Question number one.
Ready.
Who won the Eurovision last night?
Paul.
Yep.
It was Portugal.
Fantastic. Point to Paul. Very good. Did you watch it?
All I knew was it was on. That's as much as...
So if I'd have asked the question...
You right there, Sov? Your chair? Your vision.
Sov, she's been very out of it recently, so very out of it.
Just put the TV on. She likes the company.
Your vision on. She won't want to know the answers.
Oh, no. She was just sitting watching the shopping channel all evening.
QVC.
Leave her on. She likes it.
I bought a lovely cleaner.
Got a lovely fleece with a wolf on it. Had a great time.
With a wolf on it. Smoking a spliff.
Question number two. Why are people having issues with the new £5 note?
Oh, so...
Yep.
Because it's not indestructible.
No.
Paul.
No, not.
Is it because of the gelatin they've got in it? I mean, animal rights people don't like it.
Yeah,
and also, it's rubbing off.
It's fading.
No, it's actually
these are all legitimate answers.
Yeah,
FYI.
This is news though. So what happened this week?
Oh, alternate.
People
facts.
Are. It's basically what am I thinking? As the quiz always is. Britain's drug users are having issues with it because of a new phenomenon called getting windstoned, because it's Winston Churchill on the paper. What's happened is if you're doing a line of coke or whatever your preference is when it comes to drugs, you're getting a cut up nose.
Heroin, always.
You're getting a cut up nose. You shouldn't snort heroin. Been meaning to have a word with you about that one. But
don't try and control her.
Yeah, stop telling me what to do.
Don't mansplain Herod.
I'm such a
thanks, Paul. God, you've always got my back. Yeah,
cutting up the old nostrils, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that what it does anyway?
Because it's a really strong bit of paper and really sharp and crisp.
Oh, so the edge of it. Yeah,
it's not the cocaine wearing away at the septum. It's just like you're getting grazed on the.
They're getting grazes in the nostrils.
The old nozzle. So anyway, that's called getting windstoned. So if anyone says that to you, you can be sort of understand.
Getting a windstone.
Oh, I've been windstoned, and that's like I've been
paper cut my nostril.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Need a name for it. So as we talked about earlier, Theresa May is not taking part in the TV debates this year. But she did go on a TV show this week. Which was it?
Oh, Paul. Yeah. It was The One Show.
She went on The One Show.
She went on with her husband.
And she was asked really hard questions like, do you remember the first time we all fancied each other?
Did you hear a story about being in a lift with someone saying that her shoes got her into politics?
No.
Talking about kitten heels.
Oh, yeah, God.
Look it up. It's ridiculous.
What, it's actually real.
She tried to say some story about that she was in a Westminster lift and then someone got in and was just like, I just wanted to let you know that like your shoes got me into politics or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah they did.
She's
have a
so inspirational, though.
They had a segment on her shoes. She talked about her love of shoes.
Oh, God.
It was really hard-hitting stuff.
She's got a personality, guys.
So she's doing that TV interview, but she's not doing the one that actually politically relevant to her.
The one where she might have to talk about her policies.
Funny is, because Matt Baker didn't ask her that many cutting questions.
He's been in the woods too long.
Yeah, how's he's been out, the deficit
with
going?
Out with his sheep. Yeah. So Theresa, tell us about your shoes. Well, thanks. Are they strong and stable heels?
Question number four: which reality TV star is planning to get involved into US politics?
Oh, Paul.
Yeah.
So it's Anthony the Rock Johnson.
Damn it, that is...
Dwayne Johnson, not Anthony
answer.
Johnson.
Oh, I had a different one. God. I had a different one. I'll give you a point, but Sophie, if you can get what I was thinking of, you can also get a point.
I was going to say like Kendall. I don't really know that many reality TV stars. That's
I think you were about to say someone close to
Paul. Paul,
No. Is it Kanye West?
No.
Jenner.
It was a Jenner.
Yeah.
It's a Jenner.
Courtney. No. I don't know.
Chris?
No, it's Caitlyn.
Caitlyn Jenner.
She's upset with Trump and might enter politics.
Oh, jeez, you can't do everything.
Can't do everything. She's got enough going on, but she's
really a bit despairing.
Yeah, I mean, if Caitlyn Jenner's our only hope, then
The Rock. I think it's solid.
I'll support The Rock.
The Rock solid. That's his campaign.
Well, actually,
Great. You're a spokeswoman.
Make America wrestling again.
I like that.
He actually left. Yeah, no.
Well, question number.
Yeah. That's on Sophie's tangent. If you want to hear that, but...
yeah. Tune in.
Next week.
I can't wait to record.
God, it's gonna be good.
I'm looking forward to that. Final question, although I think Paul's got this. I think he's got 3 points.
Yeah,
So there's a girl who's been interviewed on the Daily Mail, and a funny thing happens to her every time she hears the name Rory.
She has an orgasm.
What is it? No, it's not that, sadly.
Does she sneeze?
No.
She flashes.
She tastes carrots. I shit you not.
Where did you find that?
I shit you not. There she is.
Oh my God, I saw that.
There's an amazing story on the Daily Mail. We'll post it later on them. This might be the news, Facebook and Instagram. Of this ill-advised girl holding a sign saying Rory with one hand and a handful of carrots.
She can make that up. There's nothing that she can ever say. Like, how you could just make that up.
I mean, we all could make that
old,
up.
But how is that made frontline news when someone turns around and goes, I taste carrots when I say the name Rory? That's just completely made up.
This is the most irate I've seen so ever on this podcast.
All the things we've covered, all the sort of really...
Nothing about any form of social housing, but a girl potentially
lying
about
it. She's so smug there, like, she's just
Mate,
made the
investigate
Daily Mail.
Investigate her.
I'm having a word with her. She's 22, she's
I'll
not
track a Tory,
enough.
You track down this girl and see. You.
We'll have a Tory and the carrot girl on next week.
Can I have one scoop of track a Tory and one scoop of Rory carrots? Rory's carrots.
Oh, there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But we're not going to find it.
Listeners, if you've got the perfect joke about Rory's carrots.
Yes.
Well, thank you both for joining me on this might be the
thanks
news.
Thanks for having us.
Listeners, look forward to seeing you next week.
Us.
Us.
Oh, bye.
Bye.